Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right, here we go. Wednesday edition of the show. Russell Smith punching the time clock 3:05 on a beautiful afternoon out here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, where we are live this afternoon till 6 o'clock. You want to come out, say hello, 9711 Kingston Pike. Excuse me, we will be here, as I say, till 6 p.m. A little chilly. Who turned on the cold? Bear, was that you? It seems like something you would do.
No, I mean, I like it. It gets me a couple more wears in my new favorite jacket. So, I mean, I kind of like it. I did go out this morning and got in the car and had to go to the store and was like halfway to the store before I realized, man, it's really cold. Maybe I shouldn't be in shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, man. Hopefully this is short-lived. And in my opinion, I can do without it. I am ready, prepared, and willing for summer to commence. So hopefully we get back at it here tomorrow. Looks like the weather is going to cooperate. Of course, there is a 100% chance of rain on Saturday for the Orange and White game. And that could make things interesting. I wonder, would they even – I mean, what would they do? I don't know what – obviously, Heupel doesn't want to get anybody hurt in that thing. That is a coach's worst nightmare. First, and we saw it with Peerless Price back in the day. That's all you want. And if it's pouring rain, not many people are going to want to go. But then what are their obligations to the fans that do attend? What are their obligations to the SEC network? I guess they would get out there and do something, although maybe they just throw their hands up and say, no, we're not doing it. Nobody's that interested anyway.
I mean, other than just bumping it a day to Sunday, but
is that even possible? I don't know if you can do that. You could, but it seems like there's a whole host of logistical hurdles that would have to be overcome to do something like that. But
yeah, I mean, it's supposed to rain all day. 100%.
Yay. Or you could come hang out with us at the Old City Sports Bar. Clay Travis and the Outkick Boys will be down there starting around noon and might just stay there, quite frankly. I mean, your chat kind of allude to that. It's like, look, even if it were a beautiful day, there's a good chance that once the drinks start flowing, you might just want to stay at the Old City Sports Bar. And if it's pouring rain, I can't imagine that that wouldn't be the case anyway.
Well, sure. I mean, what more do you want? Cold beer?
We'll see.
Chad and yeah. Clay and those guys and – you know, a good picture on a TV screen.
Yeah, it should be some good stories flowing, too. I know Nate and some of the morning guys are going to be out there. I'm going to try and make it right at the beginning. I mean, if it's rained out, I might just go hang out there anyway, a kid's baseball game. So we'll play it by ear. All right, folks, Old Ben Franklin Motors, where we are this afternoon. The story at Old Ben this afternoon is selection, inventory. Cars, cars, cars. It's what they have here. Hundreds of cars in stock in every conceivable price range. You need just something to get you on the road for $1,500, $2,000, something like that. They've got that. If you want something to ride around in style all the way up to $50,000, they've got those kind of vehicles as well. No matter what you are looking for, you want a capable SUV, a more economical sedan, they've got a tremendous variety from everybody, Ford, Chevys, Hyundais, Toyotas, Kias, and of course, the brand new Mitsubishis. We've got the Mirage. We've got the Eclipse, the Outlander. The new 2022 Outlanders, man, are just fantastic. I was looking inside one earlier. Huge cars with just a really cool and sporty look to them as well. You can come by and test drive one today. Doesn't cost you a dime. Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. And as always, don't forget, folks, they make it so easy to get the loan you need, regardless of your credit history. They're going to work with you here at Old Ben because they own the bank. All types of credit from good to bad can qualify for an auto loan today. No credit, no problem. They are going to make it happen for you. Old Ben Franklin Motors, here till 6. Across from the Chop House, Franklin Square. Come on out and see me, ladies and gentlemen, as we get set to break it down. Big show this afternoon. Joe Rexroad is going to join from The Athletic coming up here momentarily. Aaron Torres is on the show today in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on this ever-changing world of college basketball free agency happening as we speak right before our very eyes. The sports landscape is changing. Unbelievable. Hopefully, our football fortunes are changing, Bear. The roster certainly is. Catron Evans, we hardly knew you. In fact, we didn't know you at all. Released from his letter of intent. Was this guy on campus? Was he injured or something in spring?
I mean, he signed in December. I'm not sure. Wait, what's his name again?
I mean, how can you forget? I mean, it's a five-star name. I'll get Catron.
Ooh, God. I had a great nickname lined up for him.
Well, you might as well throw it out there now.
I was going to call him KTEL Records.
What?
KTEL Records. Yeah, the old dudes will get it.
Yeah.
I'll workshop it a little bit.
You don't have to worry about it now, my friend.
No, he's not a Vol.
He's hit the door. They gave him his release from his letter of intent. Now, he was a teammate of Aaron Willis, the linebacker. These kids were from some prep school up in Maryland. The same school that Dominic Bailey, the defensive lineman we got the year before, went to. And I guess we had established a bit of a pipeline there, Pruitt and Moose doing their thing. And, of course, they're not here anymore. So, yeah. I don't know what to make. I thought he sounded like a good prospect. He was a four-star, 6'4", 300-pound defensive lineman. Those guys don't grow on trees. So, I guess we should be mildly disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought with that we weren't going to lose him simply because of having Rodney Garner, because we had such a good hire. You know, as his position coach, he would see that, and Rodney Garner's put a lot of guys in the NFL. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it.
But, no, I mean, does seem like if there is a group that you could say, okay, these guys were really not well served by their position coach last year and could therefore make some improvement with better coaching this year, it would be that defensive line group, not just because Garner's reputation of being so good, but because those guys literally had no position coach for the majority of last season. Pruitt fired the guy in the middle of the game.
What was that, the Missouri game?
Kentucky,
that's right. Yeah.
Which, I mean, quite frankly, in Pruitt's defense, and I know that's a hard position to stake out these days, but somebody deserved to get fired after that one.
Yeah.
Probably him.
Probably Pruitt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked in the mirror. The one guy that was actually we talked about it last year when he fired him, it was like, why? He was one of the few position coach, you know, position coaches where it seemed like he was actually doing his job. The defensive line hadn't played bad.
Yeah. Of all the problems that Kentucky game, the defensive line did get pushed around. I mean, that was pathetic in the second half, just watching Kentucky line the ball up with no passing game at all and just run it right down our throats. I mean, if that doesn't sum up how far our program has fallen, I don't know what will. But the two pick sixes, JG's just generally all around poor play and the lack of development in the secondary and all that stuff. I mean, it was all glaring. I mean, the further we get away from it, the more you realize just how FUBAR our program was in under Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, it was going nowhere fast, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was going, I mean, not nowhere. I mean, straight to the NCAA doghouse.
It was going somewhere, I guess, yeah. Oh, man. Well, Catron Evans, so long. I wonder where he's going to end up here. I guess time will tell. Last night, Max Ferguson walks it off in the bottom of the ninth. Tony V's boys bounce back, much-needed win. And these midweek games, man, they're no gimmies out there. We're getting everybody's best effort now that there's all this buzz around our program. Western Carolina took us to the brink last week, and Tennessee Tech had it tied at two in the bottom of the ninth there. And we were in a dogfight last night, Bear. Let a 2-1 lead get away late, and Max Ferguson with a very timely hit. And, you know, a bang-bang play at the plate. And our right fielder, Beck, was just somehow able to, you know, maybe a little bit out of the baseline, but we'll take it. And Tennessee gets the win and survive in advance those midweek games. It's kind of like playing a lower-seeded mid-major in the NCAA tournament, Bear. You just got to figure out a way to get the W.
Exactly. Speaking of W's,
mm-hmm.
What about your Atlanta Braves, you and Guy Patterson?
Oh, God.
Hey, we have a AAA lineup out there right now. Uh-huh. The fact that it took a wild pitch to score the winning run, uh-huh. It says more about the Yankees than the Braves.
We had more hits than you guys. No, we didn't. You had six. We had five.
I think Guy Patterson makes a good point, Bear.
Guy Patterson's a fool.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Nope. No need to call names. No need to call names. But I'm glad that you finally brought up baseball of your own accord. It only took, what, 3 weeks into the season here?
We are, what, now 6-10 and five games back.
Who scored the winning run for you guys yesterday, Bear?
Who
hit the home run?
I don't know. I was watching.
Could you tell me anything about the game other than the fact that
Urshela hit one and Hicks scored on the wild pitch.
He's checking the box score on his phone.
Yeah. And then Google working back in the Fan Run Studios.
Then,
that's
then
good.
You guys walked and walked, and you know, bases got loaded, and then you walked in a run.
That was a wild pitch, then a walked in run.
Yeah.
All right, folks, stay with us. We got a doozy lined up for you. Joe Rex Road of The Athletic and 102.5 The Game in Nashville set to join us. We'll talk to him about the spring game. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's baseball resurgence under Tony Vitello and what are reasonable expectations for Rick Barnes heading into his seventh season in this new college basketball landscape that is developing right before us. Stay tuned. All that and more coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith cruising along with you live this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike, where we are this afternoon. And we get set to head to the G3 Help Me Hotline, where Joe Rex Road is standing by. Good afternoon, Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. Russell, how are you?
Hey, man, doing great. Joe, of course, of The Athletic, 102.5 The Game in Nashville at Joe Rex Road on Twitter. He is everywhere. Joe, as a guy who has covered, I'm sure, more than his fair share of spring football games in your career, on a scale of 1 to 10, where does going to a spring football game rank in terms of excitement for you?
Can I say negative a million?
You can.
Man. Yeah, I love football. You know, it's funny because I rail against people who complain about bowl games, right? You know, like, oh, like we need the hot, popping, fresh bowl game or whatever. Hey, man, that's another football game you get to watch. Shut up. Take more football. And yet, I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I just cannot do the spring football thing. I mean, I understand the importance, and I've covered a ton of them, and obviously there are always important storylines. And in every spring game, there are some, especially like some young players, who are worth watching, you know, especially if a particular, you know, because different schools do it differently. The ones who actually do it like a game, you know, it's a little bit of a chance to see some young players performing and maybe in some good matchups. But, man, for the most part, football, you know, it's just like the Pro Bowl is by far to me the worst all-star game. Football can't be like an exhibition or a fake thing, you know, preseason NFL, all of it. Like, if it's real football that has consequence, then it's the best. But everything else is you can't football.
Well, I see Kentucky and Florida aren't doing spring games, and I haven't heard anybody complain. Maybe there is somebody who's upset that they're not doing their spring games. But I look at it, Joe, and I see these athletics directors, these schools that are falling all over themselves to extract every last dollar that they can from their fan bases. And it doesn't cost anything to go to Tennessee spring game. It's free. It's general admission. And I can't help but wonder if the end of these spring games is coming soon. You've heard Mike Gundy talk about this. Mark Richt talked about it years ago. A bunch of other coaches have been proponents of actually playing a game, some sort of exhibition contest, some sort of back and forth. And I just wonder if that day isn't coming soon, and if so, what that might look like in terms of an actual spring game. They got to do something, Joe, to spice it up a little bit and provide a little more narrative for the fan bases and a little more money for their pocketbooks as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that idea if you could make it work. I've heard a wide range of opinions from different coaches on that too, though. And that's where, you know, so, I mean, I think you'd probably be able to, you'd have some schools that would be able to find a natural nearby and willing partner to do a game like that. And you'd probably have a lot that just don't do anything. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and even if you have, obviously you increase the possibility of injury if you're playing a real game against, you know, another team. But you've got time to before the season. So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, for the most part, you know, if you have some weird, you know, step and plant your foot and you have a knee injury, non-contact, that can happen in any practice anyway. So I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't know. Like, I don't know that I'd still get all that excited about it, you know. It doesn't count for anything. But certainly it would be a higher level of entertainment. And like you said, you could charge for it. I mean, some schools do. I mean, I think Ohio State charges for their spring game, and they, you know, they fill the place. But, you know, you got people who, in that state, who go years without being able to go to an actual game, you know, who are Buckeye nuts, pun intended. But, you know, different situations around the country. But I wouldn't hate that. I think that would be a little bit better.
Well, it would certainly give us something to talk about and something to ask the coaches about in these spring press conferences where it seems like you're just Tennessee. And I think it's cool that they put out the assistants out there, but press conferences, they just devolve into depth chart discussion. Tell me about this guy. Talk about this guy. Like that sort of thing. It seems to me it would be much more interesting if you say, well, we've got a game coming up. And yeah, I'm interested to see how this guy actually performs instead of just speculating about his potential.
That's true, but don't, you know, after Pruitt, like, I don't want any complaining about assistance being available. see, that's kind of like the writer versus broadcaster thing, you know? Because, like, that, to me, is like, has been so vague. Like, okay, your third-string tight end, like, you know, what about his in, you know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, how was he in this, you know, in this formation, blah, 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 all that stuff. And it's a lot of boring nitty-gritty, but, man, that information is still, you know, valuable if you're trying to write something. Certainly, yeah, a lot of that. It's very monotonous. It's very monotonous. There's no doubt about it. But yes, we want the assistants to be available.
Isn't that interesting how, and you do both now, so you get to straddle this fence, but from a writer's perspective, you want those super specific questions, right? When you're in a press conference situation, and I know the writers always look down upon the talk about questions. Don't ask somebody to talk about something. But when you're doing the radio show, Joe, like there's, you don't want to, you get, if you get Jeremy Pruitt or Josh Heupel on, you don't want to ask the, you would never waste right. a question in a 10, 15 minute interview on who's the backup left tackle. you want him to talk about something. You want those open-ended responses.
No doubt. Now, ideally, you know, you want the best of both worlds. You want, like, good information, and you want, like, some usable, you know, sound bites. But, yeah, no doubt. Well, look, I mean, shoot. I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, I think of, like, especially some of my TV friends, you know. I mean, it's like we trade rolling eyes at each other, you know. It's like, oh, you're going to ask about the backup running back, and then I'll be like, oh, did you really have to ask how excited they are about the fans or something? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we trade eye rolls at each other, but we all have to coexist. And, yeah, no doubt, man. You get into, anything on the radio, and, it's got to be like, let's talk about some big picture stuff and hopefully, you know, some good quotes. And hey, in that way, also, I think from Pruitt to Heupel is a positive transition.
I just remember Pruitt. One of the more memorable press conferences for me was this past year on Halloween. They asked him, do you have a favorite Halloween? You know, some TV guy. He was doing some cool human interest piece about your favorite Halloween costumes. And he asked Pruitt, do you have a favorite Halloween costume, something that stands out from when you were little? And he just looked at him with that cold Jeremy Pruitt look and said, no.
Just gives him no. I love it, man. Yeah,
with Heupel, we actually have the footage of him in the Batman suit at Oklahoma, so we know what his is.
Yeah, now one thing we are going to miss, though, is Jeremy Pruitt teaching Blake Tottmeyer about football, though. So, I mean, I've actually volunteered this fall to help Blake a little bit, you know, talk about the first down markers and the scoreboard and things like that. But, you know, that is a loss.
And these things all matter, right? I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's favorite, if he just answered that question a little bit more honestly, he might still be here, right, Joe?
maybe. Just be a little bit nicer to the media. That's the lesson to really take away from this, you know?
Absolutely.
It's all about us making us happy.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic with us here this afternoon on the show. Joe, I saw you tweeting about the Tennessee-Vandy baseball series over the weekend and would just be curious to get your take on what Tony Vitello has done in his short time already here in Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, it was a blast. Friday and Saturday at those games, had a great time, just was really impressed with impressed with the noise from that place. Obviously, the Evan Russell Grand Slam, but, you know, both those games, it was really a tremendous atmosphere, the intensity of both teams. And, yeah, I mean, I wrote a little bit about Tony at The Athletic this week and a little bit about, you know, one, it's pretty astounding what he's done in a short period of time. And I think it's a home run hire for a guy who really had the resume to be able to be ready to take over a program, but he still didn't know, you know, what exactly he was going to be as a head coach. We knew he was a very good recruiter. He had established that over many years and a good assistant coach. But I think he's just a great leader of a program, face of a program. And I think he's a motivator, obviously a recruiter. And I think that there's a real chance that there's some people coming after him soon. Just the way, you know, things are looking in the sport. I mean, it's possible, you know, two jobs that are getting a ton of mention, of course, are LSU and Texas A&M. But even if it's not them, it could be someone else. I mean, he's going to be a person of interest at the sort of upper crust of the sport, I think. You know, as a young coach, you could come in and, you know, be your coach for a long time. And Tennessee should want him to be its coach for a long time. So it's going to be interesting because I asked Tony about the facilities and everything, and I don't think he was being diplomatic. I mean, look, Philip Fulmer was on that track, and then, of course, everything happens. And like Vitello said, he doesn't have illusions that like Danny White should come in here and be like, okay, let's talk baseball and we'll get to football next week. But let's get to the baseball program. You know, he understands how it works. You can't just expect things to like pick up exactly where they were. But it'll be interesting if it does come to that. We'll get an idea of what Danny White thinks of this baseball program. I've heard the counter argument that baseball isn't going to make you a ton of money. So why are you so, you know, hung up on a sport that isn't a huge, financial component. But to me, there's still a lot of payoff for a baseball program like this. You got a program that goes to Omaha. First of all, I mean, Vanderbilt does make some money off its baseball program, and others do too. I mean, 90%+ don't. But I think Tennessee is the type of place that could if you had luxury suites in left field. And just with the massive size of this fan base and the hunger for a winner, you know, I think there's something to be said just for having great programs. And so it would be fun to see that continue and to see Tennessee keep him, because I think even in this state, and I haven't cared this much about a regular season baseball series, and I've been here a few years and have covered some great Vanderbilt teams, including the team that won it all 2 years ago. But you're still mostly kind of, like, from a media perspective, you get into it in the postseason. What if Tennessee and Vanderbilt have more top five series in the future? I think that would be a blast, and I think it would be good for the sport in the state too.
No doubt, and I can't help but wonder if, from Tennessee's perspective and Danny White's perspective, if there is a monetary value. Maybe there isn't, but I just wonder if there is value in having a successful sport that takes away attention from some of the negativity. We heard Danny White talk about text a buddy and all that stuff. Well, if you have something that is actually going well that Tennessee fans can be proud of, I mean, there's been so much negativity around the football program. The basketball season didn't go the way they wanted it to this year, even though they won games and got to the tournament, is ultimately disappointing for a lot of fans. Women's basketball has fallen off. If you've got Tennessee baseball, even if it's not necessarily bringing in a lot of cash, if I'm Danny White, I want to give my fan base something to be proud of. And hey, they redid the donor thing, the donor structure, whatever they're calling that thing this week. They announced that. I'm sure you saw that, Joe. Yeah. Maybe having at least one program that is operating at a high clip would lead people and donors to be a little bit more flexible in terms of their donations to other programs that aren't as successful. Just spitballing here.
No, I think that there's absolutely a benefit. And look, I mean, even if your bottom line, okay, it doesn't compare to, you know, football and basketball, but what was the loss before compared to now? You know, it's still going to overall help the bottom line of the department. And like you said, you have a winner like that. You have, I think you're exactly right. There's indirect benefits in donations. You know, it could be in merchandise, just overall exposure too. I mean, you put dollar value on that exposure. You spend 10 days in Omaha when really there's nothing else going on in sports. You can't tell me that's not valuable. So, I think just morale of a fan base. I mean, we know well what's going on with football, what's going on, and the effect of that on a fan base. You know, I think Rick Barnes has certainly done some things to help with what he's done with men's basketball, but I think you find a great coach, and in any sport, as an AD, I think you have to look beyond just, you know, what is the cold, hard bottom line of this sport, and look at, you know, what are the benefits of keeping greatness around your athletic department.
Talking with Joe Rexroad of The Athletic, 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Joe, last thing, we'll let you run here. You mentioned Rick Barnes and that basketball program. And, of course, these are truly remarkable times we're living in, especially in college basketball with the transfer rule and the free agency, basically, that we are seeing in that sport. And no more so than here in Knoxville, where Rick Barnes has pretty much flipped his roster. He'll have about five guys coming back from last year's squad. A bunch of new faces, though, for the Volunteers. What are reasonable expectations for that Tennessee basketball program heading into next season?
Winning the Natty. What do you mean? Come on, man.
That's all?
Well, yeah, I mean, at least the next year, and then we'll see the year after that. Okay. I'll tell you what, it is amazing. Now, a lot of this roster, upgrade has been still from the, you know, from the high school ranks, you know, late adds. But then you have Fulkerson. I think Justin Powell is just a tremendous add. Right? The Auburn transfer, big shooter. We know he can play. He had the concussion stuff last year. I mean, I think that's absolutely something this team needed. You know, it'll be interesting. You know, you get these five-star bigs coming in, and what's reasonable? You know, some skinny guys with length and skill. Are they going to be able to rebound well enough, or defend well enough? I think it's huge that Fulkerson will be here as sort of the graybeard, mentor too. But I think this team could be special. I really do, with, Kennedy Chandler, who, for people who haven't watched him, the guy is a blur. He is, you know, again, this is going to be when Tennessee was at its best under Rick Barnes, Jordan Bone got wherever he wanted with the ball. And that was the most underrated aspect of those teams by far. And Kennedy Chandler will get wherever he wants with the ball and set people up. And then you bring, I'm excited about Josiah James Jr. I think people are going to sleep on him, but he could really have a breakout season. I think they've got the elements. If those bigs are going to be ready, you know, to bang in the SEC, that's TBD. But anytime you bring in 5-star, 7-footers and things like that, you help yourself.
Well, Joe, we always appreciate you helping us this afternoon on The Drive. We'll let you go and get prepared for the great spring game weekend. I know you're super excited about the orange and white game, amongst other things, this weekend, Joe. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so pumped. I'm going to watch it over and over, man. Thanks, Russ. See you, man.
Feel the enthusiasm. Thank you, Joe. Joe Rexroad, at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. Of course, The Athletic, 102.5 The Game in Nashville. On the G3 Help Me Hotline, his appearance presented by our friends at Jets Pizza up the road in Farragut. Had a chance to go out there, and they provided us with a little food this afternoon for our remote here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, and they are hiring in there. I know a lot of folks looking to make a little extra cash. Jets Pizza in Farragut, great group of folks to work with and work for over there. They are looking for delivery drivers as well as folks to work inside. You want to go make some pizza out there at Jets, go talk to Angie, tell them The Drive sent you, and they will get you set up. And don't forget, happy hour daily, 11 to 7, featuring $2.50, $3.50 pints every single day, 11 to 7, one of the best happy hours in town over there at Jets Pizza and Farragut if you're looking to escape for a little while with a little food and beverage and great TV watching sports opportunities out there at Jets as well. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout right here. We're going to open up the phone lines. If you want to jump on the G3 Help Me Hotline, take a shot now, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Back with more of The Drive right after this.
Radio,
good news. 7 FM, 1340 AM in Knoxville. Streaming online at FanRunRadio.com and your free FanRun app. Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. Bear, what did you learn?
Well, hold on, Russ. We got to take us to breaking news desk, please.
What?
Congratulations, Russler, in order to Knoxville Catholic Fighting Irish basketball players Blue Kane, Hanji Tamba, and B.J. Edwards on being named to the TSWA 2020-21 All-State Basketball Team. What about that?
Russ? Really?
It was breaking.
That's breaking news.
That's not breaking news?
The three of the best basketball players locally in high school hoops have been named All-State. Now, I mean, this is surprising, shocking.
I mean, it's breaking news.
What am I supposed to do with that? It's not breaking news. That's to be expected. Are you going to announce the rest of the players on that All-State team?
I mean, I guess I could.
Yeah, you could, but you won't. Why? Because that would be really boring.
I mean, the kids at Cadiz, it's a local interest story, Russ. I mean,
no offense to the other kids. I'm sure they're great players, great young men. Any thoughts on what Joe Rexroad had to say on the show today?
Nah, I mean, it was fantastic as always.
He's not a big fan of the spring game.
I've never met anybody that is. It's just you take what you can get. I mean, spring football is better than no football.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone on record for a long time saying there's nothing to me more boring than spring football. It's just football practice. Football practice is boring.
Have they even announced what the format is for the Orange and White game this year?
No, not that I've seen. Have you seen a guy? Anyone? No? No? Bueller?
Well, I will say, to me, it's better and more productive when you have just a straight-up offense versus defense scrimmage instead of two teams. Yeah, like, and if you want to do a funky scoring system or something, that's fine. But to me, when you split up and you've got guys starting on the offensive and defensive lines who aren't going to be playing next to each other, I'd rather see my first team offense against my first team defense and let them go at each other and see what we got. Maybe the other is more valuable from a coach's perspective, but from a fan's perspective, that's kind of the way I look at it.
All right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Open up the phones here, 865-546-8200. If you want to hop on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. What do you make of Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, LSU, evidently is trying to hire him to be their new university president? That's an interesting move.
I mean, what do you make of that?
It's kind of like did you watch that thing on Netflix about the New York City Mafia in the 70s and 80s and how Giuliani was investigating? He was like the DA or something.
Right. Then?
It would be like the Mafia hiring Giuliani as their Don, essentially.
Or they're just their lawyer, maybe?
I mean, isn't that what...
Do you think they're trying to pull this to help mitigate the damage from...
Yes.
Funneling
course.
Money from a children's hospital to buy football recruits and getting caught on FBI, your basketball coach gets caught on FBI wiretap, and... You've got what appears to be, under the surface, a very, very ugly-looking Title IX situation with your former and current coach.
Well, gee, when you say it like that, it makes it seem like kind of a dysfunctional situation down there in Baton Rouge.
Oh, it's every bit as dysfunctional as probably, 75 to 80% of other major, Power Five college football
campuses. Think campus. So? Yeah. It seems like things have gone horribly awry down there.
I mean, there is bad off.
We're a couple of Tennessee fans. I mean, when Tennessee fans are saying, man, your athletics department has major problems, you've got a screwy situation.
Do you think they're further off the reservation than we've been in the past 12 years?
Well, they're winning more. I mean, fans, maybe that's all they care about. But as far as NCAA problems, Title IX problems, and legal problems, and is our athletics department a halfway house problems? Yeah, I mean, they've
kind of feel like we're
further down that road than we are.
You think so? Because I kind of feel like we'd be standing in the front yard of our glass house and just chucking bricks.
Well, I know our football program is a wreck, but we fired our guy. And I know we did it because he wasn't winning, but he's gone. They're clinging to dude who was caught on wiretape. I mean, you just ran down the rap sheet.
Yeah.
Why else would you hire a guy who is pretty much nationally hated, right? Recognized as kind of a joke. He's punchline, Mark Emmert, right? I don't know him personally. Like maybe it's a Peter Principle thing where he'd be better served being just over one university as a president than over the entire NCAA. And maybe the NCAA thing is just so gone and was gone before he got there that it was a hopeless job, right? There's just – nobody was going to be successful in that position. But it seems curious, and he was there before, I want to say. He was there before he got the NCAA job, right? He's already been at LSU.
Is
he athletics director down there or just president? Is he going back to his old job?
I'd have to look it up. I'm really not that, other than I never knew who he was until he became the NCAA president, to be real honest with you.
Usually that's what they do. Was it Miles Brand was the last guy? He was from Indiana, and then he went there. They usually promote these guys from – and maybe that's part of the problem is they're getting these egghead types, and maybe they need somebody a little bit more forward-thinking from a business
Montana
perspective.
State. He was at UConn. as provost.
Who, Emmert?
Yeah, in 1995. Was he at LSU? Hold on. Let me see here. Yeah, LSU. Chancellor of LSU in 1999.
Yeah, because he was part of the group that hired Saban.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was just rolling through here on his career track here.
And that might be part of it, too, is, hey.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it looks like from – go ahead, sorry.
They might also be thinking, it's pretty obvious we're going to be hiring a football coach here soon, right? I mean, the guy we've got right now is a complete maniac. He won it all a year or two ago, but it's Ed Orgeron, man. The guy's kind of got a screw loose. They might be thinking, let's go ahead and get the guy who helped find us Saban and get him back in here. And then whenever that day comes, if it's inevitable, he'll be able theoretically to go out there and help us find the next Saban.
Yeah. I mean, he was down there for 5 years and then he went back to his alma mater, University of Washington, served as president up there until he took the NCAA job. So that's strange, though, because he's got such a bad reputation as being pretty much thoroughly incompetent. What do you say? I mean, guys, he's a buffoon.
Much like Joan Jett, Bear, perhaps they just don't give a darn about their bad reputation.
Oh, they obviously don't. No, they not care. I mean, they'll actively cover up. Don't care that you know that they're trying to cover stuff up. They don't care.
All right, Barry, I've got an explosive question for you here this afternoon. This might even be too hot to make it the Rickard Ridge barbecue smoking hot question of the day. I don't even know if I want to ask this.
What?
But I guess I have to now after tease it like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely you do. Hit me.
Q on Twitter asks... Here we go. Would you let Tony V walk if it meant we win the East in football this year?
What the hell are you doing?
Oh.
What are you doing? No.
It's a good question, man.
Absolutely not.
It's a good question. Yes, you would.
No, I would absolutely would not.
You would help him pack.
No, I wouldn't. You might. You'd help I'm him. Not.
Look. I mean, that's what a friend does, right? You help him pack and you say, look, I don't want it to be like this. I'm sorry it has to be like this. We love you, but we got a chance to go to Atlanta, win the East, and get football back.
No. I'm more loyal than you are.
I'm not saying – I don't know what I would do. I think you have to, man.
No, you don't have to. You don't turn your back on a buddy like that.
If you fix football, you'll be able to go and fix baseball and everything else.
Baseball's fixed.
Well, baseball's fixed. You'll be able to go you'll find another one.
No, 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 no. You're see, no.
Tony B.
No, you're not. No, you're really not. You're being disingenuous. You just don't. What you're saying is you don't care about baseball.
No, yes, that's what I'm saying. You're getting very emotional, my friend.
Who's emotional? I'm just telling you flat out. I'm not. I don't sell out my buddies.
I think if you look at this from a cold-hearted business perspective, you have to do it.
No, you don't. You wreck the one of the few things that's going good over there, just to get one trip to Atlanta for a garbage football program who haven't given us crap in 20 years.
Here's how obvious it is. You know how like Calipari and these basketball coaches say, if my guy is projected in the first round, I wouldn't even let him come back. I'd tell him he's crazy if he doesn't go to the draft. He has to go, right? They say that. And they don't really mean it. It's just a recruiting thing, right? Because, oh, I want to play for a coach like that, a coach who wants to make me a millionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Tony Vitello, because he's a down-to-earth dude, he would say yes. He would say, you have to do this.
No.
I'll be fine. You guys will be fine. Trust me. You're emotional right now. You love me. I understand it. But 5 years down the road, you're going to look back on this day and say, yeah, Tony was right. We had to do it. We had to split up for the good of the program.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sure. We had to do it for the kids.
You're an idiot. I can't believe you asked this question. Whoa, you'd even pose this kind of question. just is mind-boggling. We got a top five.
Hold on. You're very emotional. I want you to calm down here during the break. We'll be right back. The Drive continues live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors back with more right after this.
The Drive.
March Madness is back. All this